Somebody that deals with coaches on a daily basis joins us now here on Overtime. Chuck Dunlap of the SEC here at the nicely beautiful Hoover Met. A lot of blue paint has been added, Chuck. That's the first thing I noticed.
A few subtle changes out here. Namely, I think the field is the one that most people are talking about the most. It's amazing what happens when baseball is not played on it for a couple of months heading into this, and nobody's really been on the field since, I guess, Hoover football last football season. But the field itself is probably in the best shape ever. You mentioned the paint. They've added bullpens, took them off the field and put them behind the outfield there. Everything's been power washed and scrubbed. So this is probably overall probably the best shape this place has been in a long time.
And for those who don't realize that Regents Park, they built a downtown park down in downtown Birmingham, sort of like Dickie Stevens Park there in North Little Rock, and that's where the Barons play now. So they don't play out here at the Hoover Met. But a new change to the tournament this year as well. Today is winner-go-home day, basically, at the SEC baseball tournament.
It is, and we talk with our coaches at our annual meeting. It takes place every November. Changing it up a little bit, you know, we didn't really like the 10 from last year, and found that magic number of, 14, had to go single elimination early. It had some parameters, wanted to keep it to 6 days, and didn't want to have more than 17 games that we had, but definitely keep it, didn't want to start before Tuesday. And in the end, bringing the all teams are brought up, but you would have had to go single elimination, and that's just really not the whole week, that's just not baseball, because these guys leave here, they're going to go to double elimination regionals, supers, Omaha. So to make it work for 12, this was the best way to do it, which is to give those first four teams, buys into tomorrow, have today be a single, and then after tomorrow you're essentially back into the traditional, like we played forever, the 8-8 team double elimination format. Minus, we go back to single on Saturday due to, by that time, if you're still here, you're so deep into your pitching, you've done what you're going to do NCAA-wise by that time, and the coaches all felt strongly come Saturday we'll go back to single and have a big-time semifinal, final, and we were able to move the semifinals to national TV because of that.
And
go ahead, Matt.
I was going to ask Chuck about how we just talked about the Super Bowl, putting in bids, and how does that work, and how long out do y'all decide where the SEC tournament is going to be played each year?
This is just like a lot of our other events. Now, we have been here for a while, obviously. This is the second year of a new five-year deal. We had a pretty big bid, an RFP process a couple years ago. Had several people come in. One not too far from you, Memphis, was a big player in that.
AutoZone Park.
Mm-hmm.
There.
And the stadium in, I believe, up in Duluth. I think it was a Braves affiliation, maybe. They had one. So just like any other traditional, the basketball tournament's very similar. And in the end, this continued to win out. So we are here through, there's a five-year deal through 2017, and then we'll, repeat that process again and just see where we are then.
I think some people are surprised that the first year, Missouri and Texas A&M, they both make it into the conference tournament.
It was big, especially probably for Missouri, who's wanting to, kind of elevate their baseball, start some SEC tradition. A&M, they were in College World Series, I'm going to say played Vanderbilt 2 years ago maybe, traditionally ranked team. So for Missouri, I think it was really big, get some excitement going there. I believe remodeling and refurbishing, expanding their stadium. So I think of all the teams, it was really big for them. I know they're excited. It was really fun yesterday when some of their people came through, and when their teams got here today, they didn't practice yesterday here. Some of their personnel came by when the teams got here today, a little bit walking around this morning just to check it out and just to see their eyes. I was like, whoa, would this – We're gonna play here. So that's pretty good.
It's kind of big. I mean, the first time here, it's 405 to straightaway center. I mean, it's a big ballpark, and Alabama just tied it up with Auburn 3-3. Now in the bottom of the sixth, Alabama has runners on second and third with nobody out, a double down the line for the Crimson Tide. Chuck, you deal with a lot of different issues around the SEC, but let's talk about the addition of A&M in Missouri. We're almost a complete year through that addition. How has it gone?
Well, I think it's been great. I mean, the biggest thing is just to kind of see and learn. A lot of positive feedback from their fans throughout the year, especially during football season. They got to experience some things. But, you know, overall, obviously, I think it's been great to expand the SEC in the new territory and welcome people in that were so, I guess, excited and appreciative of the opportunity and what the SEC brought. I think still, and they'll definitely get a feel of that next week, that I think there's still some getting used to on down their end of just how equal everything is and how everyone's treated the same, which is something that I think they'll probably continue to enjoy it. But definitely the fan reaction that we've gotten all year from A&M and Missouri fans, just tremendous, just so appreciative and excited about the SEC and just, you know, the A&M and Missouri fans that come down this week. They're, you know, experiencing something new every week, every season, and every sport. So it's been great to see that, and you know, their staffs have been great, and just, you know, looking forward to, you know, a long time with those two guys in the conference.
Can you reiterate that one more time? Because there are people that we get calls all the time. Well, it's Alabama's right there next to Birmingham, so they've got to be getting preferential treatment. Everybody is treated the same in this conference.
It's everybody's treated the same. You know, where our office is, and our office has been in Mississippi a lot longer than it's been in Alabama. So, you get that. But again, it's always going to be, depends on what color glasses you look through. Ours are crystal clear. So, you know, there's nothing. It depends on just, you know, what, I guess, who you're a fan of, you know, what you see. So no, there's no, you know, preferential treatment of any kind. Everybody is the same. And, that'll be evident in Destin next week when, everything is said and done, and those all-important, you know, revenue checks get distributed.
And I'm sure that a lot of people down in Destin, a lot of the meetings that are going to be taking place, there's going to be a lot of talk about the new SEC network.
Oh, without a doubt. That was a tremendous and historic thing for us to be able to announce. Still have a long time before it actually happens, but I think it took that kind of lead-in to get everything situated, both from the programming standpoint and, more importantly, probably the distribution standpoint. But it's been in the works for a while, and to be able to finally officially announce it and throw out some plans and to officially publicly start that process was fun. But, yeah, May 2nd was a historic day for the league. It's going to be an exciting day for everybody. And quite frankly, it's one that, you know, the fans demanded. You know, our fans are so passionate, and we're so successful because of our fans. And, you know, they drove this. They pushed. They created the demand for the SEC channel. And we're going to be happy to give it to them here in about 15 months.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you, Chuck, was about the SEC network and how we just the SEC added Missouri and A&M. And do you see expansion for the SEC, or are we set? You know, what is the guidelines, or have you signed something where it's like these are going to be the teams in the SEC for the next 5 or 10 years, or do you think that we will expand in the next couple of years again?
No, I can tell you that we are set and happy with 14 now and for the foreseeable future. You know, I think it was the last couple weeks ago when the announcement first came out that Commissioner and some others even said, you know what, even if expansion had not happened, even if the landscape had not changed, we still would have announced and probably started an SEC network when we did. So the expansion is really not that big of a part of it. Glad to be able to bring it to more people. And to have new areas of the country who, you know, will be interested in. But at the same time, you know, we're no longer a regional conference. We're a national conference. So whether it was 12 or 14, I think the national demand for the SEC still would have been there.
You also are one of the main contacts with football as well, and the dominance over the past couple of years with football, and now starting to transition after this year to the playoff, the 14 playoff. I know we could sit back, Matt and I can, and Joe and listeners can say, well, okay, it looks like the SEC will have at least two in there every year, and I'm sure the conference would love to have two in there every year, but Roy Kramer started basically, essentially, the playoff with the championship game.
He did, you know, and Commissioner Kramer was a part of a lot of historic things with, you know, he was part of the first, you know, BCS formation in 98, and then you mentioned the start of our championship game in 92, and a lot of times, every time something happened, you know, back in 92, well, the SEC, you know, was done playing for championships, and you're going to stop winning, and that's when we really, really started to kind of get to where we are today, I think. The new playoff's going to be, you know, outstanding. I was able to be in Pasadena for the announcement. I think it's going to be great. You know, we had the situation happen 2 years ago when we had two of our teams meet for the national title, which is virtually impossible under the current setup. But certainly if we're able to get more than one team in the playoff, I would say the odds of that happening in the future are probably better under the soon-to-be format than right now, because it's almost impossible for the factors to come together that came together 2 years ago to happen. If you have two teams in the playoff, or you know, nothing, there's no limit. We could have three. We could have all four, just depending on how you know the seedings are and the selections are. But I think that the chances in the future of that happening again are probably much better than they were. You know, the first 15 years of the BCS when it only happened once.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And Trey and I have discussed. We've had some callers call in about the SEC football schedule. I believe it's an 8-game schedule right now, and they were talking, what do you see it going to a 9-game schedule in the future?
Well, it could be possible. You know, rumor has it that might be talked about in Destin some next
rumor
week.
Rumor has it, yeah. I think it will be.
you know, certainly it's been a national topic. A lot of people, you know, outside the SEC have weighed in on their opinion of the matter. But we're a Democratic conference, and we'll get the coaches and the athletic directors and all the leaders of the SEC together, and I'm sure that will be one of many topics discussed next week, and we'll see what the future schedule holds.
Explain to the listener what happens down in Destin, because I think some of them think that, okay, well, they go down, they spend the time on the beach, and it's just a time to go and be together and celebrate the league and everything, but there is work that actually gets done. Legislation is passed, and we're going to be there to bring the listeners some of the information that comes out.
If you're a spouse or children of a coach or an SEC administrator, then you really like Destin, and you see a lot of that. But if you're in my shoes and their shoes, you see a lot of meeting rooms. Mm-hmm. So it starts off, you have some, you know, the first couple of days are all the various groups meet, from coaches, athletic directors, you know, presidents come in, and everybody kind of has their groups. And as the week goes on, the groups themselves come up with, they have their own agendas coming in, and they come up with proposals, anything they want to forward to the athletic directors, to the presidents and chancellors. And it's a very, you know, just like our government process works, it's certain stages to go through. And then as the week, you know, progresses on, at the end of the week, those things are presented to and voted on by the athletic directors on Friday, and then you know, ratified by the presidents and chancellors, and then at 2 o'clock Eastern, you know, somewhere around there on Friday, that's when we'll have an official, formal, final press conference and officially announce everything that happened. And you know, throughout the week, there'll be a lot of talk. You know, the coaches can move something forward that gets killed the next day, but that just, you know, is how it happens. And so end of the week, anything that actually gets approved and voted into. Into rule, into bylaw, or whatever the category may be, that all becomes official on Friday. But it's a 3 to 4 day process to get us to that point.
I know Brett Bielema, in speaking with him Sunday at the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame golf tournament and dinner, and the tournament was yesterday. He's kind of interested in some different things that he's coming from the Big Ten into the SEC. And he basically told me he just wants to talk things through with some of the coaches, like, okay, why does the SEC do this when other conferences do it a different way? And I guess that's something that just has to be talked through, that, you know, he might have some idea as to say, okay, coaches, let's look at it this way. Here's why I think it's advantageous to do it this way. And then they talk about it, and then they would pass it on, I guess.
Yeah, and if that happens, and I'm sure it does happen, but he's a great example. That's a good thing, I think, to bring other ideas, and ask questions. And there may be reasons that he's not aware of that he agrees with and sees, or there may be things that he brings to the table that we had not thought about. You know, and there may be different and better ways to do things. You know, certainly, you know, he's one that. He could probably opine in on some of the scheduling, you know, factors and questions, because I know the league he came from is making that change. So, you know, he's familiar with some of the pros and cons and talks that probably went into that. So, yeah, certainly you get a new coach in, especially with his background and resume, brings a tremendous asset to being in that room, and that's a good thing, I think. I think we've shown in the past that we're always open to new and better ways to, you know, ideas to do things.
Right. And Chuck, I was going to ask you how long you have worked with the SEC, if you've worked with any other NCAA conferences. And that is one thing that I think sets the SEC apart. And as a whole, and maybe I'm a little biased, I think the SEC is the best conference. What are some things that y'all try to do that maybe are different from some of the other conferences?
To answer your first question, this is my first and only job. So, 15 years ago, I came and I have not left. You know, my wife and I have a lot of family around here, and it's just a great place to work.
He remembers listening to you on teleconferences, Matt. Back when
he wasn't one of the ones that hung up on me, was he?
No, but we were discussing a play a couple of days ago. I think somebody had a YouTube clip up of a certain quarterback ducking a football over a goalpost after a touchdown against Ole Miss.
We've got a nice picture of that in the studio, believe it or not.
So, we try to do a lot. I think one thing that we've been evident and shown is I think we've one example. I think we've been on the cutting edge of social media, per se, when all of that came out. Two or three years ago, before everybody else jumped on board, I think we've been kind of on the national leader on that as far as conferences go, and I think our fan following shows that, and it also shows how social media savvy and passionate our fans are. I think we do try to involve the fans and get their input on things, and always try to use various technology. And another thing is we for football last year we went to the video replay system, and that when replays happen, when stoppages of play happen, we want the fans to see it, and it cuts to the TV feed, and if it shows it 20 times, that's what you see in the stadium. And nobody else did that. I think now other conferences, including the BCS, are going to adopt that. But those are the kind of the things that I think we try to be trendsetters in, and always be the first to implement things that continue to make us fan friendly. Because again, end of the day. And people don't always – our fans are what make us what we are.
Chuck Dunlap of the SEC joining us here on Overtime at Regents Park in Hoover. It's 3-3 still. In the bottom of the sixth, Alabama with bases loaded, two outs, one ball, two strikes to the batter. And, Chuck, you just talked about there implementing new replay procedures. And with the new network, how can universities make the fan experience more enjoyable to where they're not going to sit at home and watch it on TV? Because like the replays, you would get replays at home, but now you're getting them in the stadium as well.
Well, that's a big concern. It's not just college football or college athletics. It's for any sporting event, pro, college, throughout the country. Technology has changed, and fans have been given a greater reason to stay at home in front of the comfort of their HD televisions and their laptops and everything else that comes along with it. I know in the SEC we developed a committee last year. I think it's chaired by Mississippi State Athletic Director Scott Strickland, mm-hmm. just on some ways. Hey, you know what? This is happening to every sport, every pro franchise, anything, and we're not any different. So what can we do to try to get out ahead of this to make some changes to make all of our sports a little better for our fans? And that was one thing to come out of it, always pushing to try some new things, trying to get our stadiums upgraded. So I don't know about you, but when I'm at home and able to watch games, I no longer can just sit and watch a game. I have to have my laptop or tablet or something up, keeping up with Twitter, just seeing what people are saying.
My wife hates it.
and I can't watch a game any other way now.
Yeah. You got to have all stats at your be able to look at whatever you want to look at the right time. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just and so the ability to, if we can improve Wi-Fi at all of our stadiums. And the NFL has started that. Every stadium now has to be where if every fan in the stadium has a tablet or a smartphone or whatever, they can be on all their social and doing all those things in the stadium. Without it, cluttering up their phone or getting bogged down that they could do at home. And I know a lot of our stadiums have started to implement that. So there really is no good way, but certainly is TV's not going anywhere.
Chuck,
going away.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you that is awesome because we've had people call in about why would we go to games, if ticket prices with this SEC network and being able to watch every game on TV. But what you're saying is you can bring that tablet with you into the game. And I really do think that's a good thing that y'all are doing right there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Definitely glad y'all are y'all are here on site, and I guess Trey said you're being Destin, and
we'll be in Destin next week.
You guys next week.
Sounds good. Chuck, thanks so much for the time.
And thank you.
You talked about Scott Strickland. He's big on Twitter, and we've got a guy coming up that's big on Twitter. That's Jeff Long.
I follow him sometimes, especially his late night when he starts responding to all the
tweets. He gets into it, doesn't he?